Welcome to Talks from the Bible. Recently, in a television advertisement, I heard a very well-known religious leader tell people about sin and salvation from sin. Sin is a problem in our world, and all people need to be saved from sin. Jesus Christ, of course, is the solution for human sin. Jesus came into the world to die for sin. He offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. We are taught in the Bible that in his blood we have the forgiveness of sins, the redemption from sin, a release from the slavery of sin. This individual talked about being saved from sin. He suggested to those who desired this salvation pray a certain prayer with him. And then he prayed. After which he suggested that those who had prayed this prayer call this particular telephone number. I suppose in calling that number they would discuss with you further salvation and your release from sin. I was intrigued by what this man said. He suggested that we are forgiven of sin if we pray a certain prayer. For many, many years I have read, studied, and searched the Scriptures. The reason for this intense search of the Scriptures was that I might know what God would have me to do to be saved from sin. In the Bible, I find that sin is a problem. I find that God hates sin. I read and understand that God has provided through His grace, love, and mercy a remedy for sin. I understand that in my study of Scripture, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save us from sin. He offered himself as a sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary so that we might be redeemed from sin and enjoy the remission or the forgiveness of sins. But I have not found that we can pray a particular prayer and find salvation. The Bible does not teach, in all of my searching, that we can be saved from sin by praying a prayer. I want to study with you what some preachers of the Bible suggested to their audience that they do so that they might be saved from sin. These were men who had been called of God and sent of God to go into the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. The preaching of the gospel is imperative to our salvation. We must be willing to hear the gospel of Christ, and we must be willing to do as God has commanded us to do so that we might be forgiven of sin. But praying a prayer is not the solution to forgiveness of sin. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches Jesus Christ. This is some days after Jesus has risen from the dead and ascended to his Father. He has given unto his disciples a commission to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The beginning of this preaching of the gospel was to be in the city of Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem it was to go into Judea, and then into Samaria, and finally unto the uttermost part of the earth. The apostles were directed where they were to begin their preaching, and then they were to spread the preaching of the gospel so that ultimately, finally, all of creation could hear the gospel. God's design of salvation involves the gospel. And so in Acts chapter 2, after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles and they preach the gospel. They preach Jesus as the Savior. And in verse 37, this multitude who heard Peter preach said, "What shall we do?" They were pricked in their heart, the Bible said. They were cut in their heart. They were convicted of sin. The purpose of gospel preaching is to convict us of sin and to reveal unto us what we must do in order to have sin forgiven or cleansed from our life. And God, in His mercy and love, has been willing to do that for us. He desires that every person who lives in the world, from generation to generation until the end of time, be saved from sin. But in order to accomplish that, we must be willing to hear the terms of the gospel. Peter has preached the gospel. The multitude says, "What shall we do?" In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." This was God's answer to the forgiveness of sin. This is not what this particular religious leader in this television ad told his audience. He told them to pray this prayer with me. And yet Peter, on the day of Pentecost, to the very multitude that had been responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, he tells them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Why? "For unto the remission of sins," the forgiveness of sins. In Acts chapter 8, at verses 35 through 39, we have the record of Philip preaching to a man from Ethiopia. This man had traveled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship, and now he is on his return journey. Philip is summoned from Samaria to go into this area where this man is traveling and preach unto him. And at verse 35, beginning, the scripture says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." The subject of Philip's preaching, as was the subject of Peter's preaching in Acts 2, was Jesus. The subject of gospel preaching today must be Jesus. We must preach Jesus because Jesus is the Savior of the world. Matthew 1:21. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Jesus, through His precious blood, cleanses us of sin. 1 Peter 1:19. And so Philip began at the same scripture. This man was reading scripture. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" This man, in hearing the gospel preached by Philip, wanted to be baptized. "What hinders me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And so we have the account of Philip preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to this eunuch, this man from Ethiopia. He asked the question, "What hinders me to be baptized?" The renowned religious figure that I heard speak in the television ad did not mention baptism. His father before him, who was well known and preached around the world, did not mention baptism. This eunuch desired to be baptized. "What hinders me?" This is an excellent example of conversion in the pages of Scripture. This eunuch believed. He confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he was baptized, and he went on his way rejoicing. When someone asks, "What must I do to be saved?" I refer to them to this particular example recorded in Scripture for us. They are to hear the preaching of Jesus. They are to believe the preaching of Jesus. They are to confess Jesus as the Son of God, and they are to be baptized, and God will wash away their sins. In Acts chapter 9, at verses 1 through 18, we have the record of Saul of Tarsus and his conversion. Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, and in that journey he encountered Jesus Christ. Jesus appears to him in a vision. And Saul said, "What wilt thou have me to do, Lord?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go into the city of Jerusalem, and there it shall be told thee what thou must do." Notice that he was told that he would be told what he must do. This is something that we must do. And we find that Saul went into the city of Damascus rather than Jerusalem. God summoned Ananias the preacher unto him. Ananias preached to him, and he was baptized. Acts 2, the multitude at Pentecost was baptized. Acts 8, earlier in Acts 8, the Samaritans believed the preaching of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, and they were baptized, verse 12. The Ethiopian eunuch who heard the preaching of Philip was baptized. And now Saul of Tarsus is baptized. In Acts 10, 47 and 48, Peter is preaching to the household of Cornelius. And he says, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He commanded them to be baptized. Baptism is the command of God. It's not some option that we have in the steps of obedience. It's not something that we can choose to do or not do if we desire to be saved. He was commanded to be baptized. This is the biblical answer that God has given concerning salvation from sin. The preacher preached, and the believer heard. In Romans 10, 14 through 17, the Scripture says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Preachers are to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And truth must be obeyed. The gospel must be obeyed. Not all have obeyed the gospel, the Scripture says. Not everyone is going to obey the gospel. Some are going to hear the gospel. Some may even believe the gospel. But they will not obey the gospel. The gospel must be obeyed. The truth of God must be obeyed. In 1 Peter chapter 1, at verses 22 through 25, the apostle writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the authority of God, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel is to be preached. Peter said that those to whom this epistle is addressed had purified their soul in obeying the truth. They had heard the truth, and they had obeyed the truth. They were born again, Peter said, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What is this incorruptible seed? The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God will never cease to exist. As long as the world stands, and even into eternity, the Word of God will live and abide. There are people who have tried to rid the world of the Word of God, and they have been unsuccessful. The Bible remains to be the most bought book of all the books in the world. More people buy Bibles than they buy any other book. Almost every home has a Bible in it. There are many, many people who read the Bible, and yet, tragically and sadly, there are many people who do not read the Bible, who do not study the Bible, who do not listen to the Bible, who have no regard for the Bible. But Peter said we must be born again by incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, and he said, this is the gospel which is preached unto you. And so the gospel was preached, they believed the gospel, they had obeyed the gospel, and as a result, they had purified their soul. Sin defiles the soul. Sin attacks the soul. Now, sin, of course, will harm the body. There are sins that will do great damage to the body. But the main culprit of sin, the one that the soul is harmed the most by sin. And so we must be rid of sin. We must purify the soul from its defilement by sin. And these to whom Peter has written had accomplished that in obeying the truth. There's another passage that I wish to notice in this regard. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 13. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Some are going to perish. This means they will be lost forever. They will be lost in eternal fire. Eternal fire is the punishment of sin. Some human minds cannot comprehend that. They feel that that is too drastic, too harsh. And some even ask the question, why would a loving God consign an eternal soul to eternal fire? Because of sin. Sin is a malady that curses the world and curses the soul. And so all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. Why did they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The love of the truth must be received. If our soul is saved, it must be saved by the word of truth. It is imperative that those who preach, preach the word of truth. There are many preachers today, many, many preachers around the world, but not all of them preach the truth. Some preach error. Some preach falsehood. There are false teachers in the world. The Bible teaches that there would be false teachers. There would be those who would preach false teaching, and they would deceive people because they were deceived themselves. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. We continue this reading. That they should believe a lie. Some people will believe a lie. Some believe a lie before they will believe the truth. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. The Spirit sanctifies us, sets us apart, makes us peculiar, special unto God. We become His special people through the indwelling Spirit, which is received at baptism, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit indwelling within the human heart, the human soul, Romans chapter 8, Acts chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 4, sanctifies us, makes us special for God, and belief of the truth. The truth must be obeyed. The truth must be believed. Preaching must tell people the truth. You must not hear error because error will not save your soul. You must not believe error because error will not save your soul. You must examine what you hear. You must prove what you hear. You must test everything that you hear. And the standard of testing and proving is the Bible, the Word of God. The Word of God is the gospel. The Word of God is the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They thought He was talking about human captivity, human bondage, but He wasn't. They said, "Well, we've never been in bondage to any man," but they had. And He said, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, but if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Jesus makes us free from sin if we're willing to obey His gospel, believe His truth. And so the answer given by these early preachers recorded in the Bible concerning salvation from sin is baptism. Why does baptism save? Why is it essential for you and me to be baptized? Now, I must be baptized for the right reason. I'm not baptized to place membership into some church. I'm baptized for the remission of sins. Why? Why does baptism save? First, in baptism, we put on Christ. We come into Christ, and Christ comes into us. We dwell in Christ, Christ dwells in us when we are baptized. Not before we're baptized. Not in belief, not in repentance, not in confession, but in baptism. Listen, Galatians 3, 26-27, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." What had been accomplished by being baptized into Christ? They had put on Christ. Why were they baptized into Christ? Because they had faith in Christ. The gospel moves us to believe in Christ because Christ is the subject of preaching. And that faith causes us to be baptized, whereby we put on Christ. And so we're baptized so that we can put on Christ. We must be baptized to die to sin. In baptism, spiritual death occurs and spiritual resurrection happens. There is a death to sin and there is a resurrection to life. Not in belief, not in repentance, not in confession, but in baptism. Romans 6, 3-6. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. These verses are vital in the conversion of the human soul. When we are baptized into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And the Scripture says that in baptism, the old man is crucified with him, not in belief, not in faith, not in repentance, not in confession, but in baptism. The old man is crucified with him. The body of sin is destroyed, so that from henceforth, from this time forward, we would not serve sin. We have died to sin. Romans 6, 18 and 22. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of God. When were you made free from sin? When you were buried with Jesus Christ in baptism. When you were buried in His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and raised to walk in newness of life. In baptism, we become new creatures in Jesus Christ. We are reborn in baptism. This is the new birth of John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. But now, being made free from sin, become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. We're baptized so that we are separated from our sins. We are released from sin in baptism, not in faith, not in confession, not in repentance, but in baptism. Acts 22:16, the Apostle Paul is recounting his conversion, which is recorded in Acts chapter 9. He's telling these people how he was converted to Jesus Christ and what Ananias spoke to him on that occasion. Not all of that is recorded in Acts chapter 9. But Paul tells us some things in Acts 22 that Ananias told him. And in verse 16, he said, "The preacher Ananias said, 'And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord.'" Two things happen according to this passage of Scripture in baptism. We wash away our sins and we call on the name of the Lord. You do not call on the name of the Lord by calling, "Lord, Lord." You do not call on the name of the Lord by praying a prayer. You do not call on the name of the Lord by laying your hand on the radio or the television. You do not call on the name of the Lord by falling on the floor and crying, "Lord, Lord." You call on the name of the Lord and your sins are washed away when you are baptized into Jesus Christ. And so I'm baptized so that I can be separated from my sins. Colossians 2, 11 through 13, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." When does the circumcision of Christ happen? When do I put off the body of the sins of the flesh? Buried with Him in baptism. "Wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God." It's God's operation. It's God's work. Someone says, "I just don't understand how being ducked in water can save you," because it's God's operation. It's what God said do. It's God's command. He commanded them to be baptized, Acts 10:47. He didn't ask them if they wanted to be baptized. He commanded them to be baptized, because baptism is when God circumcises our sins from us. "And you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses," when we're baptized. Baptism saves us. Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." That's the choice. We're either saved or lost. We're either saved or damned, condemned. And the separating wall, the line of demarcation, is baptism. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I'm telling you that as a student of the Bible, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that what will save your soul from eternal death, the fire of hell, is baptism. The gospel believed and obeyed through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism will save your soul from sin. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.